I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 25 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. When you stand in praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father may forgive your sins. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word this morning. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us today. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and do a work in our hearts and our lives as we strive to apply and carry out your word in everyday life. We ask you, Lord, to just come alongside the words on the page and bring power and bring conviction and bring change in our lives. And we thank you, God, for your presence today and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. A couple years ago, someone that I respected and honestly looked up to as an example, another minister, another pastor no less, a well-known pastor, led some people, a few people, to believe something about me that simply wasn't true. He either lied or he gave someone bad information without caring to verify it, and misled other people into thinking less of me, and how I felt was that it tarnished my reputation. Not only with those individuals, but to anyone that maybe it got repeated to or that it carried on to. Now, I did my best in that instance and in that circumstance to do the right thing. Publicly, I said the right things. I didn't go on Facebook and post some rant. I didn't go and complain to many other people, my wife and immediate family maybe, but I didn't go public with it. I really didn't even try to convince the people that had heard the wrong information that it was wrong. I tried not to return the favor, that even though my reputation had been tarnished unfairly, that I tried not to do the same to his. And because I've just learned in life that you almost never look good or sound good when you're trying to defend yourself. It just never comes out right. Even when you're right, even when you've got the receipts and you can prove that you're right, you won't necessarily change the minds of the people who are set on believing a lie. So usually it's best just to leave it in the Lord's hands. Let the Lord fight your battles. Like I said, outwardly and publicly, I did the right thing. I handled it well, but inwardly, I'll be honest with you, I really struggled. I know that maybe this is a unique thing, but I've been the church my whole life, and this was really the first time that I really experienced church hurt, and I struggled with it. When I saw this person or had to be around him, I had bad feelings. I was angry. I was hurt. I was hurt because it was a minister even more, and to be honest, there's days I'm still working through this forgiveness process over this, but every now and then I have to remind myself, no, you've forgiven that guy. You need to move on. You need to quit holding this. But when we do that, when we do forgive, when we do, even when, you know, feelings kind of rise up and we remind ourselves, no, we're choosing to forgive. When we release that hurt and let it go, I found also that there comes a wonderful peace and relief when we do that. I share that story with you to illustrate this point. Forgiveness is not easy. I know that. It's not lost on me that when I stand in a pulpit or stand and teach someone how to forgive or what the word of the Lord says about forgiveness, I realize how difficult it is. And I could share you more stories of having to go through that forgiveness process. But today we're starting a new series called Forgiveness 101, a masterclass in giving and receiving forgiveness. Now I want you to know, I am not claiming that I am the master of forgiveness when I say it's a master class. I have not necessarily mastered this spiritual skill. I am not perfect at it by any means. The master in this master class is not me, it's Jesus. Amen? No one forgives better than Jesus does. No one is better at forgiving than Jesus. There's no one in the universe better equipped to teach us how to forgive than Jesus the Master. So just like every Sunday, I pray, and my prayer over this series is that the Spirit of Jesus would help me filter out my own opinions and my own thoughts, and that we would preach only what He would have to say. I don't want to spew my own ideas or pop psychology, but instead we are going to dig into the Word of God together and learn from the Master. Amen? So if this is an area you struggle with, I do want to encourage you, be here every week. If you can't be here, watch online. It's going to be convicting. It's going to be challenging. And if you'll let it, it can be life-changing. This is a subject we need to talk about because forgiveness is a huge deal in our lives. It is a huge life-defining issue for so many people. This huge issue keeps people stuck in a life cycle of bitterness and anger and hurt and regret. Or if it's actually practiced and walked out, it can bring peace and freedom and relief and wholeness and healing. We see the issue of forgiveness coming up all the time. Or rather, I should say, the issue of unforgiveness. Pain in a marriage or from a divorce. How can you ever forgive that person for that betrayal? Being done wrong in a business deal and being cheated and still holding on to that anger years later. A dating relationship that's gone wrong. He was your Prince Charming until he wasn't anymore. A friendship that's dissolved. That friendship is gone, but the pain and the hurt and the bitterness still linger. People saying things about you. It's not right. It's not fair what they said. Unreasonable people attacking you. It shouldn't have happened. Maybe something did happen in church. A pastor didn't do you right, or people didn't treat you right, or people gossiped about you, and you haven't forgiven him, or you haven't forgiven them. And to be honest, you're even bitter at God over it. And that unforgiveness has kept you from being fully engaged in any church. You just can't forget. It's not always something big. Sometimes it's little things that we hold on to. Somebody didn't listen to you. Someone didn't take your advice. I've offended people because I didn't make it to them to shake their hand on a Sunday morning. It wasn't intentional. I just didn't make it there, and they got their feelings hurt and offended over it. They didn't say hello when you thought they should have said hello. They didn't greet you the way you thought. And it's little, and you know it's little, but it still nags. I know people who are still mad at somebody over what someone else told them, and it wasn't even true. And they know it wasn't true, it's just they feel anger and bitterness toward them, and it's all based on this big misunderstanding, and they're held hostage by something that's really a lie. And you become consumed with the issues, and you become stuck in your journey with the Lord because you can't seem to forgive, because unforgiveness paralyzes families, destroys marriages, and ends long-term relationships. And listen, I know there's a lot of great excuses for why we don't forgive. There's lots of good ones. There's lots of good reasons why we don't forgive. They all sound good. You don't know how bad they hurt me. You don't know what they took from me, Pastor. You don't know what they said. How could someone that close to me hurt me so bad? Actually, it's because they were that close to you that they hurt you so bad. What they said or did still affects me. How can I forgive them when it still hurts? I can't trust them. How can I forgive them? I don't feel like forgiving them. I can't forgive them because they haven't apologized. I can't forgive them because I'm still mad. They're all excuses, and they're all good ones. But the excuses don't change the fact that not forgiving hurts you more than it hurts the other person. I think part of the reason sometimes that we struggle with forgiveness is we don't really understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't. So that's what our message today is what is forgiveness and what is not forgiveness? So just real quick, we're going to go through some. Forgiveness first is, forgiveness is not pretending it didn't hurt. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't hurt. You ever hear somebody talking about something and they say they got offended, they got hurt, somebody mistreated them, somebody did them wrong, and they say, oh, that's okay, it really didn't bother me. And you want to say, you're a liar. We can see it all over your face. We can see that it's bothering you. Stop lying. Don't pretend it didn't happen. Don't pretend it didn't hurt. You're just lying to yourself, and you're the only one believing the lie because none of us believe it because we can see you. I've been there. I know that it hurts. It's not pretending, it's lying. I know the pain that you feel when people say cruel things about you and your family. Forgiveness does not mean saying that didn't bother me. It did bother you. It did hurt. It did make you angry. That's not forgiveness to pretend and lie about what happened. If you burn your hand on a hot stove and somebody says to you, just ignore it, it won't hurt. No, it's going to hurt. Just pretend you didn't burn it and it won't hurt and it won't stick. No matter how hard I pretend, it's going to hurt for a while. Ignoring it doesn't make your hand hurt any less. How on earth is it going to make your heart hurt any less? It's important to understand there's a difference, though, between being wounded and being hurt. Sometimes you get hurt unintentionally. That's a wound. Somebody, they didn't mean to. There was not animosity in their heart. It was unintentional. You know that it wasn't something on purpose. That doesn't even require forgiveness, really. That's just, I'm gonna let it go because I know who you are and I know they didn't mean to hurt me. And you accept it and move on. Respond to wounds with acceptance and understanding. That's what mature followers of Jesus do. We look at the heart and we say, you know, I know you didn't mean it that way, and we'll just move on. It's not a big deal. But being wronged, that's intentional. That's when somebody, their heart wasn't right when they said or did it. They wanted it to hurt. And forgiveness is needed for those intentional hurts when you're wronged. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, they can't hurt me because they don't mean anything to me? You can almost be sure they're pretending, which is code for they're lying. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't hurt. Forgiveness is giving up the right to get even. Getting even says, I want to do to you what you did to me. I hurt, so you should hurt. That's not forgiveness, that's revenge. But you don't understand, Pastor, it's not fair what they did. I do understand. You're right, it's not fair. But forgiveness is the right thing to do, and God always honors right. One of the best Bible examples of forgiveness is Joseph in the Old Testament. His brothers, they beat him. They threw him in a well and sold him as a slave. And years later, his same brother stood before Joseph needing his help. And Joseph said, look at Genesis. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. Joseph had the ultimate opportunity for revenge. He said, I'm going to do to you exactly what you did to me. I'm going to leave you for dead. I'm going to sell you into slavery. I'm going to cap the name. Those same deadbeat brothers who sold him and beat him were begging for help. And he could have said, let me think about it. No. He could have said, you can starve and suffer just like I did. You can go to prison just like I did. What goes around comes around. Instead, he told them he's going to feed their families and provide for them. What an amazing example of giving up the right to get even when he had the opportunity. Forgiveness is not minimizing the wrong. It's not pretending it didn't hurt. It's not minimizing the wrong. Forgiveness is not saying, it's no big deal. Oh, it's okay. It's not no big deal. It was a big deal. It hurt. When you minimize the wrong, you cheapen the forgiveness. You know, why do we do that when people come and apologize, say, oh, don't worry about it, no big deal. Why do we do that? Oh, it's fine. I think sometimes we feel responsible. We don't want to make that person feel bad. You somehow feel responsible for their feelings, so you kind of have to make it less awkward. And so you say, oh, it's not a big deal. It's no problem. Hey, it's okay that they feel bad. They hurt you. They did wrong. Don't minimize the hurt. That's not forgiveness. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, oh, sin's no big deal. Oh, it's no problem. We'll just wink at it. We'll just make it not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's all good. God doesn't minimize the wrong. God says you deserve to die for your sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. See, if you minimize the wrong of sin, you cheapen the effects of grace and the price Jesus paid on the cross. Forgiveness isn't minimizing the wrong. It's not making it smaller. It's not saying it's not a big deal. Instead, forgiveness is treating your offender as forgiven. Speaking to them with kindness. Treating them with gentleness because you've chosen to forgive. Kindness and gentleness, these are fruit of the Spirit. Some of us don't have it naturally. We need the Spirit to move in us and grow in us in order to exhibit these behaviors. But other people's behavior cannot determine my spiritual fruit. What they do can't dictate the fruit that I bear in my relationship with the Lord and my walk with the Spirit. I have to do what's right no matter what. So forgiveness is treating them with the kindness and gentleness of the Holy Spirit, even when they don't deserve it. When you treat your enemies, those who offended you, as forgiven, you demonstrate the love of Jesus, who treats you not as a sinner, but as a forgiven child of God. Aren't you thankful for that today? Are there any saved folks in the room that are thankful? God doesn't treat me like the sinner I am, but He treats me as a forgiven child of God. He doesn't minimize my sin. He just chooses to treat me as forgiven. Does that mean you have to spend time with them still? No. Does that mean you have to go to their house and have them in your house? No. Do you have to be friends with them after you forgive? No. Do you have to go back to that dysfunctional, abusive relationship? Absolutely no, never. That's not what we're saying. Instead, when you speak to them, when you encounter them, when you treat them and speak to them as forgiven. Forgiveness is not excusing the wrong. Forgiveness is not finding excuses for the wrong that was done. What happened was not the result of some bad home environment, of culture, or all these other things that society blames and uses to excuse sin. It was wrong, plain and simple. When you give someone an excuse for their sin or for their offense against you, you become an enabler. If you give someone an excuse, they'll take it. You give someone an excuse, they'll take it. That excuse helps them avoid responsibility for the wrong that they did. That excuse virtually ensures that they'll do it again because they weren't held accountable. That's not forgiveness, that's foolishness. If you enable someone long enough by giving them excuses, they learn there are no real consequences for their behavior. So forgiveness is not excusing their behavior. Instead, forgiveness is having a tender heart toward your offender. This isn't easy, but forgiveness doesn't rejoice in the misfortune of your offender. Now, we've all been there, right? Somebody we're holding a grudge against or we're bitter against, and you find out they lose their job. Well, so serves them right. That's just God getting them back, taking care of them. But no, forgiveness has a tender heart toward them, even when they've offended us. And instead of rejoicing in their misfortune, forgiveness hurts for them and their misfortune. Now, this doesn't come quickly. If you're in the room today and you're not going to feel bad or have a tender heart toward your ex-husband just because you heard one sermon, it takes time. But the goal of forgiveness is a tender heart. I'm thankful God has a tender heart towards us, aren't you? Forgiveness is not taking the blame for the wrong. Taking the blame for the wrong, that's a victim mentality. Oh, if I'd been a better wife, my husband wouldn't have cheated on me. If I didn't keep messing up, he wouldn't have hit me. Listen, I don't care how bad of a wife you are. If your husband abused you, it was wrong. And it's his fault and not yours. And don't take the blame for his sin or let him assign you the blame. He did wrong, not you. Taking the blame for someone else's wrong is why people stay in abusive relationships. They somehow convince themselves that they deserved it, that they're at fault, that the abuse is their fault or their responsibility. It's not. Don't take responsibility or blame for your abuser's wrong. That's not forgiveness. This is why victims of sexual assault and molestation, they have such a hard time finding freedom, because evil manipulators have convinced them and brainwash them into believing that they asked for it or that they deserved it and that the blame was somehow their fault. Listen to me, if you're a victim, the abuse was not your fault. Don't take the blame for somebody else's wrong. They did it. It was wrong. It was their fault. Somebody saying, I'm kind of liking this message. You're giving me permission to blame them and get mad at them. I'm ready. I'm going to their house today and say, my pastor sent me to tell you off. But wait a minute, don't do that, because remember, revenge is not our motive. We're not trying to get even, we're choosing to forgive. So forgiveness is not taking the blame. Instead, forgiveness is choosing to bless your offender. Okay, wait a minute. I was with you so far, Pastor, but that's a bridge too far, not happening. But remember, forgiveness is a process. You probably won't start there today. But one day you'll be able to bless those who persecute you. That's actually a biblical commandment. Did you know that? Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, and says, do not repay anybody evil for evil. Don't get revenge. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, I will avenge. It's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. See, taking the blame, that's putting something bad on yourself. But blessing your offender is putting something good on them. That's not what culture tells you to do. Culture says, nope, write people off. Culture says, nope, never again. Culture says, nope, that, you know, just hold that grudge, hold that bitterness. But when you bless your offender, people will notice and God will be glorified through that. Forgiveness is not overlooking the wrong. Your offender wants you to pretend it never happened. They say things like, well, if you really forgive me, you'll never bring it up again. Not true. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't happen. When you do, you internalize your feelings and you ensure you will have to deal with that anger and forgiveness all over again. For example, your spouse has an affair. They get caught. Or if they have any character left, they confess. Marriage is in chaos after that, and you're struggling to forgive. Initially, they understand your anger, and they understand your desire to talk about it. But a few weeks go by, and they get mad when you bring it up. They don't like that you're still talking about it. They want you to believe forgiveness is pretending it never happened, and we're never going to talk about it again. That's not forgiveness. That's foolishness. I loved the example when we had at Winter Revival, Brother Jeff and Sister Ashley up here. And it took me off guard just how, if you were here, how plainly they talked about his sin 10, 15 years later. And it was, I mean, she was just up here. He was a jerk. He did it 6 times, different women. I mean, there was no of this sugarcoating stuff. And I thought, and I was listening because I'm the man in the relationship. I'm like, man, I don't think I'd be enjoying this very much if I was him hearing this. But as I was studying for this sermon this week, I thought, you know what? No, it's still allowed to be talked about without anger, but just truth. And I love that because forgiveness isn't saying, oh, we're going to pretend that never happened. We're never going to talk about it again. Forgiveness is actually whenever we need to, we'll talk about it. Maybe it could be something to share with someone else to help them work through their issues or whatever. But I don't know about how they're talking about it. But then I thought, no, these are people that are really free to talk about reality and talk about what God really did in their lives. If you missed that, you can go online and watch it, the Sunday night service from Winter Revival. Forgiveness is not overlooking the wrong. Forgiveness is praying for your offender. Praying for your offender. You know, you say, I'll check that off my list. I pray for my offender all the time. Lost job, slashed tires, dead dogs. Like, I pray for them, Pastor, but that's not what I mean. I mean praying for them, not against them. Amen? Forgiveness is not praying, Lord Almighty, powerful God, you are the maker of heaven and earth. You're so powerful. Send fire, God. Send lightning. Send sulfur from heaven on them. That's not what we're praying. No, forgiveness is, God, they hurt me, but Lord, would you save them? God, would you redeem them? God, would you bless them? God, would you draw them closer to you? That's what praying for your offender looks like. Here's why you pray for them. It's a powerful principle. See, if when I pray for you, my heart is softened toward you. When I pray for you, my heart is softened toward you. It's like, I like to do this sometimes. I like to pretend when I'm praying that I'm sitting here at a table with 3 chairs. And it's me, and I'm sitting with Jesus talking to the Lord and praying, and I invite my offender to sit at the table with me. And now, all of a sudden, the conversation's going to be a little bit different because Jesus is at the table with my offender and with me. And I'm going to talk about my offender differently if Jesus is listening. But also I want to hear what he has to say to me about my offender. That's what praying for those that have hurt you looks like. Sit at the table with them and with Jesus for a moment. Just visualize that in your head. Say, okay, what would Jesus say as we sip coffee and talk together about this person who hurt me? How am I to treat them? Pray for your enemies, the scripture says. Pray for those who've done wrong. Allow the Lord to work on your heart. Forgiveness is not a feeling or an emotion. Forgiveness is not a warm feeling of gushy love toward that person who hurt you. There have been times in my life where the last thing I felt like doing was forgiving. If someone has done you wrong, what you likely feel is hurt and anger, not mushy, warm love. See, but forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. If you wait until you feel like forgiving, you'll never forgive. Make the choice today to forgive. And pray and ask the Lord to bring to you the right feelings and the right heart. Let go of resentment and bitterness and hurt and pride as you choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not immediately trusting. Forgiveness can be instant. In fact, it should be instant. It's a choice. It's a moment in time. But trust, on the other hand, has to be rebuilt. Recovery from betrayal takes time. If somebody's hurt you repeatedly and intentionally, the Bible obligates you to forgive them, but you are not obligated to trust them. Some people think, if I've forgiven that abusive spouse, then I have to let them back in the house. Or if I forgive that guy who cheated me in business, then I have to do business with him again. Remember, we're not saying you have to trust everybody, but we are saying God calls us to forgive all who hurt us. Forgiveness means I'm going to let go of the hurt. I'm going to release you from my bitterness and anger, but it takes time to rebuild trust. Trust is established by two things, character and consistency. Character says, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be who I need to be. I'm going to treat you correctly. That's character. But then consistency is, I'm going to do it over and over again over a period of time to prove that it's not just a one-time thing. Yeah. So trust takes character and consistency. So you can't trust everybody because not everybody has character and not everybody's consistent. But that's separate from forgiveness. See, forgiveness is about me. It's about my choice that I have to make. It's about nothing to do with you, actually. If you hurt me, you don't have to do anything for me to forgive you. I choose to forgive you regardless of how you act or what you do in the future. Even if you continue the actions, I can choose to forgive you. But trust is different. Forgiveness is about me, but trust is about we. We have to come together if we're going to build trust. You have a part in that as well. I can't just decide to trust you. Trust is earned. You don't earn forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. In fact, what you did earned not being forgiven, but I'm choosing because I love Jesus and I have the Holy Spirit inside of me to yield to him and choose to forgive you. You deserve to be punished. You deserve to be hurt. Instead, I grant you forgiveness, but it's going to take some time and some work to rebuild the trust that was broken. So in that case, forgiveness is not necessarily a reunion. Forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. A lot of people think, well, if I forgive him, then I have to accept him back the exact same way and let him continue to hurt me. No, you don't. Forgiveness is what you do if you're offended, but if the relationship's going to be restored, the offender has to do three things. He has to repent. She has to make it right. She has to rebuild trust. That's what it takes to restore the relationship. Now understand, you forgive whether or not they do any of that. You choose to release them from your own personal judgment, from your anger and your bitterness, whether they choose to rebuild the relationship or not. Forgiveness is not dependent on them repenting or them making it right or them building back trust. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is not us together. Forgiveness is me being free. And you think, when I move out of the house, oh, then I'll be free. When that divorce is final, then things will be better and I'll be free. When I pay off that debt, it'll be free. When that person's finally dead, then I'll be free. Listen, I've been to a lot of funerals where there are people who didn't forgive in life and consumed with regret in death. That's not freedom. When you forgive, you're free. You're saying, I'm no longer held captive by that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness. Just think about my story. If I was to walk in the room with that person and that person that hurt me can change my mood and can change my attitude and my outlook, I'm not free. I'm a slave to that person now. But when I choose, you know what? They're not going to control me. And even the wrong that they did is not going to define me. And it's not going to dictate my behavior anymore. That's what forgiveness looks like. We may never be best friends anymore. We may never have a working relationship anymore, but I don't have to be controlled by you anymore. That's what freedom from forgiveness looks like. No longer held captive by anger or unforgiveness. No longer a victim of my own resentment. No longer a victim of bitterness. And you discover true freedom when you finally forgive. And until you've worked through that conflict you're in, until you've worked through the conflict you're in, where you are, it doesn't matter how many places you leave or how many relationships you storm out of. You'll either find the same kind of conflict in each new place, or you'll carry the baggage of that original conflict into every new relationship. Your anger and resentment doesn't hurt your offender. It hurts you. And I believe God wants you to be free. Forgiveness is not their action. I can't forgive them because they haven't apologized. If your forgiveness is based on their character as a person or the quality of their apology, you may never forgive. Forgiveness is not their action. Forgiveness is your decision. Why is this so important? Because you can't expect God to forgive you of your egregious sin against your Heavenly Father if you won't allow Him to move in your heart to forgive others. That's not my word. That's Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 14. Jesus says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's powerful, and I don't like it, and it stings a little. But it's in the book. In fact, it's in the book multiple times. He wanted to make sure we got this message. Mark 11, our scripture we read at the beginning. When you stand praying, when you come to church and lift your hands in worship, when you come and serve in church, when you come and give in the offering, when you come and talk about the Lord and hear a sermon, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, Pastor Katie, you can come. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. That's a pretty big deal. If you won't forgive others, he's saying and indicating God can't or won't forgive you. Now, I know forgiveness can be really hard, but I believe that the Lord's calling us to deal with some things today. And it's time to forgive and finally be free. We're going to talk about over the next few weeks a little more detail, a little more practical, and go in a little bit deeper. But this was an introduction. And I want you to understand, forgiveness isn't minimizing the wrong, and forgiveness isn't excusing the wrong, and forgiveness isn't pretending it didn't happen, and forgiveness isn't enabling an abuser, and forgiveness isn't going back into an unhealthy thing. That's not what forgiveness is. We're not talking today about the person who hurt you. We're talking about your heart. Think about that for a second. I know that might be hard, but also if you'll walk with me through this for a second, that's also the most freeing thing you could possibly hear, is today, I know they hurt you. But the most important thing is not where they are, it's where you are in your heart and your walk with God. This will hinder your walk with God if you don't deal with it. It'll hinder your maturity. It'll hinder your prayer life. Do you know there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says if there's strife in a marriage, and husbands and wives aren't forgiving each other and aren't getting along, the Bible says God won't hear your prayers till you make it right with your wife. Isn't that powerful? God cares about your marriage that much. He says, we're not talking until y'all talk. So it can hinder your life with God. It can hinder, it can affect your eternity. What you choose to do with this offense that you've been carrying. I want you to stand with me. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask that our deacons would come. Pastor Melissa, would you come and stand facing that way? Just kind of spread out in front of the altar here, altar area. Brother and Sister Kenny, would y'all come too as well? Here's what we're going to do. These are your prayer partners today. You're going to come just make room so people can come and come pray with you. Just you spread out however you need to. Here's what we're going to do, and it's on you today, okay? But what we're going to do is, she's going to lead us for a second. You're going to have an opportunity to come and have someone pray with you one-on-one. And what you share with these six people will not leave this spot right here. It will not get repeated. It will not get advertised. It will not get talked about. But there's something about coming into agreement with someone. And we've got all mature believers here that care for you. They're people that we trust in leadership. They're people that we trust in their walk with God. They're not gonna betray you. And here's the altar call today. It's not necessarily that today you're totally ready to forgive. Maybe you are, and if you are, that's wonderful, and I'm so glad, and we're going to help you walk through that, and we're going to pray with you. But really, I'm talking to the people that, like, okay, I see it in the Word, I hear it, I know what God has said, but I'm not there yet. But Lord, would you help me get there? Can we have that kind of honest prayer for just a moment? And just say, and so we're going to sing, we're going to worship, we're going to just spend time with the Lord for a second. Nobody is going to judge you for coming and saying, you know what, I know there's something I need to work through. And you say, well, because here's what I know happens in your brain because I've sat in those seats before. Well, my thing's not that big of a deal. I'll just pray on my own in my seat. But listen, you're missing an opportunity because God said when two or three gather together and agree, it'll be done. And so I want you to come into agreement with someone that God's going to help take you on this journey over the next few weeks through Forgiveness 101 to learn how to do it and learn how to do it in a biblical way, in a way that actually brings freedom to you and doesn't hurt you more. So Father, right now we pray in the name of Jesus and we ask you, Lord, to just begin to move on our hearts. And I pray, God, that you would, as we step forward here in just a moment, that you would allow us to and draw us to a place where we're wanting to surrender to your word. We're wanting to surrender to your will for our lives. And so right now, God, we offer our burdens and our wounds and our wrongs to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you meet us here. Can we just begin to worship the Lord together? Let's just all turn our hearts toward Jesus. If you're ready.